Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. How you doing midweek? As we get closer to the AFC and the NFC championship games. And you know what's fun? One of the things I like to do when we get to this level, right, where whether it's a Final Four or it's the ALCS and the NLCS, is I go, okay, I got four teams left. They're vying for a championship. One of these teams is going to be Super Bowl champion. Two of these teams are going to be playing in the game. What does it mean for each team? Like, what would it mean to see the Tennessee Titans, for example, in the Super Bowl? What would it mean for Ryan Tannehill? What would it mean for the city of Nashville? What would it mean for the organization? All right, and then I go, okay. Then I go to Kansas City, right? What would it mean for Patrick Mahomes? What would it mean for Kansas City, who's now waited 50 years? Their last Super Bowl appearance was in 1970. Right, to wait all that long to get back to that game, to get back to that stage. Aaron Rodgers getting closer to the end of his career. And then you've got San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, and what they've built from having the number two pick to going to the Super Bowl the next year. It's kind of one of those games I play, especially around this time, and I do it also with the Final Four, where I just sort of sit back and go, What would we get out of a champion from one of these teams in each and every one of them? Then I start thinking about matchups, and then I go, okay, well, what matchup would make a lot of sense, or what matchup could be best exploited? What would be the storylines in that? You know, and I thought San Francisco, Tennessee, and I was like, you know, I can't really come up with something, but if I dig deep, I bet I could find something there. But the one that is really intriguing to me, the one that I think has a lot of potential, the one that I think would make everybody kind of go, oh, would be if the Green Bay Packers played the Kansas City Chiefs for the Super Bowl. Because that was the first Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl I. And Super Bowl I occurred on this date, January 15th, 1967. Len Dawson and Bart Starr. And you've also got now Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, who appear on those crazy State Farm commercials, which I know that company would exploit to high heaven for the 2 weeks that we have between the end of the championship games on Sunday and Super Bowl 54 down in Miami. So, happy birthday, Super Bowl. It was on this date in Los Angeles that the Green Bay Packers beat the Chiefs 35-10. Baseball next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Tony D Radio. Also, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, please. Remember, we have to remind people it's not worth one. If you give them one, is somebody going to get these? And yep. You know,
just remember, two's better than one.
Two's better than one.
I like my ends.
That's right. So two managers getting fired is better than one. Alex Cora got let go yesterday.
What you did there.
I know. Did a nice little.
Well,
no. Switch.
We got to say the right. He didn't get let go.
Oh, right. That's
mutually
right.
Departed, because I'm certain he was all on board with that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Certain he wanted to give up his gig as Boston Red Sox manager, saying, oh, no, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have orchestrated one of the bigger scandals that we've seen in the sport in the last 10 years. I want to leave and go quietly into the night. And on the one hand, I'm sure he's relieved, because he's just like, look, it's over. Whatever, the suspension is secondary. My job and losing my job was important. I got that out of the way. I'm done. I won't manage. But now we wait on what his suspension is. A.J. Hinch got a year. I think the consensus, though, in the baseball world is A.J. Hinch will get hired the second he's available. That the second he is off the suspension, some team will go, yeah, now we got you. Alex Cora, I don't know. He's a good manager, but I think there might be some time between when he's reinstated to when somebody hires him.
I think the problem is that you kind of looked to him as being the catalyst for this whole thing.
Right. Well, you don't look at A.J. Hinch like that.
No.
You don't look at it. You look at A.J. Hinch maybe losing control of the process, and he's the head guy, so the buck stops there.
In political correctness terms, it was, I think he got fired for gross negligence.
Right. And lack of institutional control is another term that gets used.
Just a fancy way of saying, you know what, he turned a blind eye to it.
Turned a blind eye to it. Alex Cora was like the mastermind behind all this stuff. Yeah.
He created the system.
Like, he, you know, two teams that got pinched for this, and Alex Cora is the pin that holds both of these together. So for Alex Cora, I don't know if people are going to jump up and down and through hoops to get him whenever his suspension comes to the end of it. I can't guarantee that he stays out of baseball forever. He's a good manager. People like him. Players like him. But A.J. Hinch is getting hired the second he's available. So for Hinch, this is just a year vacation. Less than that, because he's going to be eligible as soon as the World Series is over. So 10 months, take a 10-month vacation. And then you get back to work with whatever team is willing to hire you.
Yeah.
Alex Cora may have to sit out a while. They may have to sit out a while. So here's another angle to this story that involves our favorite baseball team, the New York Mets.
Oh, please.
Yes, because Carlos Beltran is the manager of the Mets. He's the brand new manager of the Mets. And he has something involved in this, too, when he played for the Astros in 2017. So do the Mets have the right to ask him, because Major League Baseball isn't going after any players.
Right.
Right? They said they basically wanted the players to talk. So they gave pretty much immunity to those who came forward and spoke honestly about these scandals. And they really just wanted to get the institutions. They wanted to get the teams. They wanted to go after the teams and say, look, you guys are responsible for this. You guys are responsible for the culture. You guys are responsible to make sure that your players aren't involved in this. And there isn't a system within your own organization of cheating. So they offered immunity to players who were willing to talk. But do the Mets have should the Mets talk to Carlos Beltran and say, what exactly was your role in all this, Mr.
No,
Manager?
They don't need to.
Or should they leave it alone?
No, you know why? All they got to do is just look at his 2017 season.
Right. Good point.
And then realize, like, well, obviously he wasn't cheating.
He wasn't cheating. That's a good point.
Or if he was, maybe that is a catalyst to remove him, because it's like he was getting pitches tipped, and he still couldn't hit the ball.
And he couldn't still hit the ball? You know what? Maybe this is a reason we get rid of you. What kind of manager is that? But I wonder if you're the Mets, though. I don't think you're as caught up in this with Carlos Beltran as the Astros and the Red Sox. Because you don't have – you can say, look, we're moving forward. Baseball wants to move forward. Here's how much baseball wants to move forward. I don't know if you saw this little tidbit, Dodger fan. Baseball told the Dodgers not to comment on this at all.
Of course.
They said, don't you dare talk about those World Series and the fact that you got cheated out of them. Don't you say a thing. Now, CC Sabathia can say that about the Yankees because he's retired. Right, but baseball is saying, don't you dare talk about flawed World Series. We would have won. We got cheated. Don't you dare rile that up. We don't need that. We'll handle the suspensions. We'll handle the discipline. But don't you dare ruffle the feathers of your fan base by talking about how you were cheated out of two World Series championships. And that's how much baseball wants to move, like, do its deed and move past this. If the Mets start going down a, hey, we need to talk to Beltran. We need to hire a new manager. We don't feel comfortable with this. He was part of this. We think we need to get rid of him just for the sake of PR. I don't think there's a lot of Mets fans up in arms going, you know, the image of the organization is going to be tarnished because we have Carlos Beltran. Don't take offense to this. You're the Mets. All right. You know, you batted out of order in a game. Okay. So let's not pretend like Carlos Beltran is going to damage the shining image of the Metropolitans. Let's not go down that road, because I don't think that's happening. All right, we've gone down the whole list of fun things that the Mets have done in the time we've had this show, and there are plentiful.
And we're still holding out for one.
So don't come to me and say you got to fire Carlos Beltran because he damages the Mets' image. All right, no. You guys had a Cy Young Award winner that wasn't giving up any runs at all, who had a 10-11 record. All right. So don't give me the whole, oh, well, we have a standard around here in Queens that we got to keep up. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Because I'll bring out the list. Don't make me bring out the list, but I'll bring out the list. Carlos Beltran should be safe as anybody.
You know what? Carlos Beltran, I think the meeting probably went like this when he met with the Wilpons is, you know, hey, can you fill out a lineup card? Yes. Can you follow said lineup card? Yes. You're hired.
Yes, exactly. Can you make sure that the eighth guy in your lineup bats eighth when the time comes? Yeah, I can do that.
I believe I can
do that. Great. That's wonderful. That's going to be a step up around here. We really appreciate that. Thanks. So baseball's got, you know, I hate to say this because I think this is still a big deal. And I still think this is a Major League Baseball problem that they are trying to repair and fix. I'm not seeing from the fan base the same level of kind of anger and outrage that we had with baseball when the steroid era kind of broke out and we started realizing, ah, crap, they're all on it. We had our suspicions, but now they're all on it. I think this is one of those baseball things that most fans are like, you know what? To be honest with you, I kind of thought they all were doing it. I didn't realize that this was a suspend guys for a year, get them fired kind of offense. I kind of thought they all were doing it. Because now they're pointing to, there are players saying, oh, you know, the Yankees did it a little bit. The Diamondbacks did it too. Oh, the Cubs might have done something. Like, they're pointing to other teams.
Oh, of course.
But they nagged the two big ones. And why did they nag the two big ones? Because one, they won World Series. And two, Alex Cora. That's why they nabbed these two. Alex Cora was the mastermind of it all.
Yep.
By the way, so, I read this story where one of the teams was using, was it the Red Sox? Or I can't remember. One of the teams was using smartwatches to tip pitches.
Oh, really?
I have an Apple Watch. I don't know how you do that. Now, then again, I can't get my settings on my phone to do various things. I'm sure there is a brilliant teenage way of sending pitch messages to the iPhone. But I don't know how you use a watch to deliver. Like, is it that quick? Like, all right, hold on. I'm going to text him. He'll just get it on his phone. Fastball. And then you're up at the plate. You're staring at the pitcher. Bing! Fastball. Is that how it worked? I'm really naive when it comes to this kind of technology.
I have no clue.
Two buzzes on the phone for changeup? Is that what we're doing?
No, you know, we were talking about players not getting busted, right? There was one player in particular who feels that that's unjust.
And who is that?
Pete Rose.
Oh, yes. Mr. Rose has spoken out on this.
Yeah, he definitely spoke out.
You can imagine Pete Rose was like, hold my beer. I'm going to be talking about this. I'm absolutely going to be talking about this. That's funny because, yeah, wouldn't you, if you're Pete Rose and you're banned for life can never get back in. And these guys really cheated. Because remember, Rose's big contention has always been, I may have bet on the Reds, but I did not bet on them to lose. I did not bet on me to lose. I did not throw games.
Nope.
I did not do any of that. You can ban me for first betting on my team and betting on baseball. I did that. I did those things. But I did not throw baseball games.
Yeah, he went on to say, you know, he would try to steal a sign from a third base coach.
Yeah.
And he said that if he was able to figure out a third base coach's signs, then that guy needs to rethink his job.
Sure. Sure.
But he never stole signs from a pitcher.
He never did it through his head?
No.
Because obviously technology limitations were kind of scarce back then.
No, and the reason why he never wanted to be tipped a pitch because, here's a quote from him, says, but in the 14,000 times I batted, I never wanted a guy in second to tell me what was coming. My philosophy was he might say it's a low and away sinker and it's really an up and in fastball and I get hit in the ribs because you can't always be 100% sure that the signs are correct.
Good point. Why? You know, that's a great point. That's a great point. You know, you're asking people on your team, like, let's say you're in on all this, right? You're just like, I'm going to the plate and they're going to tell me what's coming. You're not 100% sure they're right in deciphering the code because you're not 100% sure that the other team isn't getting, you know, maybe tipping a pitch and then changing the signals or whatnot. You don't know what's going on. He makes a good point. But so what he is saying is if he was told low and outside and he was leaning more to get that pitch as it was coming and it was high and inside, he'd be in trouble. That's a good point. Way to go, Rose. to come up with some brilliance.
Yeah. Still got a baseball mind.
Yeah. He's good on the broadcast. When he was doing the does he still do them? I don't think he does them anymore.
I think they pull him in for postseason.
Yeah, postseason. But when he does them, he's really good. He's very insightful.
Kind of boosts the rate.
He still knows the game.
He might know the game, yeah.
Yeah, he might know the game a touch.
He should, some might say he had a Hall of Fame career.
He kind of did.
So stupid.
It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. More on this, more on Major League Baseball as well as we continue along this morning on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. AFC and NFC Championship games coming up this weekend. So what if Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are in the Super Bowl? How does State Farm make even more commercials with those two?
They won't need to. Nah.
Just keep running the
but
same
what
ones?
What I want to know is, will Mahomes and Rodgers' agent show up?
They've got to have him doing stuff, right, during Super Bowl week?
Yeah, I mean, he better have a suite to himself.
Like, bring that actor in and go, like, all right, you're going to make appearances. You're going to be...
Wait, you're telling me it's an actor? I thought that was his real agent.
I don't want to spill. I don't want to unveil the curtain to the great and powerful Oz. Yeah. God, there was one that I needed my friends to tell me what it was about. I was like, why? I don't get this ad. I think it was when Patrick Mahomes showed up with his State Farm agent. You know, Aaron Rodgers showed up with his agent. He had Patrick Mahomes, and he was like, have you met my new Mahomies? And I'm like, can somebody explain what's going on here? Like, what is this ad? What are they doing? Who's him? Why are they doing this? And then somebody explained it to me, and I went, oh, all right, I get it. I must not be following the serial nature of this ad campaign.
Yes, you're not.
I'm not. I'm not paying attention to the storyline as we continue. Packers and Chiefs, 54 years, if they make it, 54 years after they appeared in the first Super Bowl. 53, I think,
technically. And you're trying to tell me that the NFL doesn't rig games?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. They're going to try to bring out anybody that was in that game that's still alive.
Because I'm certain they're wanting 49ers-Titans.
Yeah, right? 49ers-Titans. I'm sure they're clamoring for that. God.
So it's always around this time where you have like your four Super Bowl choices and it's ranked, right? So, I mean, obviously Niners-Titans would be dead last. Packers Chief would probably be number one.
I gotta go. I would take that number one.
So what would be two and three? Would you say Niners Chiefs?
Niners Chiefs would
Packers,
be two.
Packers Titans.
And Packers Titans would be three. I'm sorry. Listen, again, living in Nashville, I know the Titans pretty well. We're gonna have people over to the house, all these Titan fans that we've grown to love over the 10 years that we've lived here. But that's not the best. That's not the best team to go to the Super Bowl in terms of just pure entertainment value. It's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So the Titans are the bottom two, and then it will be Packers, Chiefs, 49ers, Chiefs. Then my third one would be Packers, 49ers. I'm sorry, Packers, Titans, and then you know what? You do it. I'm all messed up.
Nah, you're gone. I was following along.
The Titans are the bottom one. 49ers Titans would be the last. Green Bay Titans would be the third.
Nobody wants to see Niners versus Titans.
My brain got all fried there.
But Packers Chiefs, that would be
the best. That's the best matchup.
And would they allow them? You know, I would if I was the NFL, and if it did end up being Packers Chiefs, I would make it mandatory. Each team has to wear throwback uniforms for the game.
Yes, and can we bring back Up With People or whoever played? I'm sorry. No, bring back the Grambling Marching Band. I think the Grambling Marching Band was the halftime show.
Is that the first one?
I think that was the first one. Now I need to look that up, but I believe the Grambling Marching Band performed at the first Super Bowl. I think there would be a place for the Grambling Marching Band. In this, like, you could squeeze it in right now. Like, you have 2 weeks to make it happen. So the first, I think they performed at the first Super Bowl in Los Angeles. And if that is the case, and you get Chiefs Packers again, I think you have to find a way to put them in the Super Bowl halftime show in some capacity. If you're the NFL, you cannot let this go. The Grambling Marching Band is one of the greatest things in sports. Are you kidding me? I remember when I was in Colorado, I went to a Colorado Crush Arena football game just to see the Grambling Marching Band live. And then the next night, I actually was on assignment to cover the Denver Nuggets basketball. Now, I went as a fan to the Crush game. Then the next night at the Pepsi Center, I went to cover a Nuggets game on assignment. And the Grambling Marching Band was there anyway. They were doing back-to-back performances. So if that's the case, and if I'm right, you got to put them in the show in some capacity, in some form. So
yeah, there you go.
Did you look it up?
Yeah. It just says performers, right? University of Arizona Symphonic Marching Band and Grambling State University Marching Band.
There you go.
Al Hurt.
Who's Al Hurt?
He was an American trumpeter and band leader.
Okay. I'm sure he's not around anymore.
And the Anaheim High School drill team and
Wonderful.
Flag girls.
Wonderful. That is great. That was the first halftime show in 1967.
Yep.
The NFL was like, this could be big. Let's get some college bands. Let's get a trumpeter. And let's find a local high school that can show up and do some twirls and stuff. That's great.
And now what? Now we have, is it J-Lo and Shakira are headlining?
Yeah. Now the NFL is demanding that record labels pay for the right to have your artists do the Super Bowl show.
And I think the other thing that was really big for the first halftime show, I believe that was the jetpacks.
Yeah, the jetpacks, yeah. Let's bring back them. Why won't we bring back them?
I know.
Let's do that too. Like you said, throwback unis, Grambling Marching Band at halftime, and somehow the jetpacks. It's Miami. It'll be fine.
I couldn't agree more.
Right? Let's do that. There'll be a lot of if that is the Super Bowl matchup, there'll be a lot of one of those big reminiscing of the first Super Bowl between those two teams. Max McGee scored the first touchdown. Packers went on to win 35-10. Blah 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 blah. The Kansas City Chiefs have not been in the Super Bowl since 1970. 65 toss power trap with Hank Stram on the sidelines. That's the last time the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl. So they're making their second straight AFC championship appearance. As much as I want to root for the hometown team, and I do, a lot of my friends are Titan fans, and they've long-suffering Titans fans who, 20 years ago was when they lost to the Rams. The better matchup is Kansas City against either one of those two.
Yes.
And Derrick Henry's great, right? Derrick Henry's great, but Patrick Mahomes on that stage, the Super Bowl stage.
But Chiefs Niners, the problem with the Chiefs Niners would be there's going to be too much red on the field.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Does Joe Montana come out if it's Chiefs Niners? And who does he support?
That's another one. That's another angle. You and I, they should hire us to come up with cool ideas for the possible. Like whatever Super Bowl matchup it is, we can come up with unique, fun, interesting ideas. Joe Montana in one of those split uniforms.
Yep.
Right? Didn't he wear 19?
He wore 19, so.
Somehow make it so it looks like it's 16 on the back, 19 on the front. I don't know. You can make it any way you want. You're going to design it from scratch.
Maybe,
right?
Maybe you just do like a 16 and a 19.
Maybe do that. Maybe do that. Whatever it is.
Sure can't do 69.
No, we can't do that. But we can have him. We can have him part of the coin toss, wearing that uniform.
Yeah. So make that uniform. Good luck to both teams.
And good luck to both teams. He would obviously edge for the Niners, though, right?
You only had
a cup of coffee with the Chiefs.
Yeah, but he almost brought them to.
But he almost got them to the Super Bowl. They beat the Steelers in the wild card round that year. So, yeah,
there's
all sorts of possibilities.
Would he lean into both Garoppolo and Mahomes go, I'm still undefeated in these things.
Real quick, they're talking about Ryan Tannehill. They're saying how awesome it would be if Ryan Tannehill went to the Super Bowl.
In Miami?
In Miami.
It's a good story.
But you know what? Trent Dilfer already did this. He was cast off by the Buccaneers, and he led the Baltimore Ravens when he finally took over that offense in the season, and he led them to the Super Bowl, which was played in Tampa. So that story's already been done, but it would be cool a second time around. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Alrighty, it's a good, the bad, and the dumb here in the midway point of the week. It is the Wednesday edition. We always like to feel good at the midway. Well, we like to feel good every day, so the good of the day is...
I'm going to guarantee this will probably be one of your favorite goods of all time.
Oh, I love that. Love when you preface it that way.
Yes, there's a, according to researchers at the University College London, that's sitting through a film at the movie theater, at the cinema, if you will. Could be considered light exercise.
Oh, yes! I knew it!
They found that moviegoers often experience heart rate increases equal to about 40 minutes of low-impact cardio.
Hey, that's an interesting study. So what they're saying is if you watch a dramatic movie or an intense movie, then you could your heart rate could pound, and that's just that's like aerobic exercise.
Yep. I mean, it's probably counteracted to, you know, the gigantic tub of popcorn you polish off.
Yeah, we're right. So,
but yeah, it's considered. I mean, I guess you can consider it low impact cardio. They did a study when people watched the live action remake of Aladdin. They observed 51 participants and found that they were wearing sensors that were tracking their heart rates and skin reactions during the film.
That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, now I got to go to more intense movies.
Yeah, say a normal resting heart rate is between 60 and 100 beats per minute.
Right.
The results that they found showed that those who spent 40 minutes in a movie theater reached a healthy heart zone.
That's great.
With rates landing somewhere between 40 to 80% of its maximum rate.
That's pretty cool. So find a movie that will take your heart rate up. And
well,
let it
know,
stay there for a while.
I sat there. I was talking to my wife the other day saying, you know, New Year's resolution, we want to get back into shape.
More movies.
Well, I was getting ready to go to the gym that's in our neighborhood at the community center.
Why do that? You can be entertained and have your heart rate go through the roof.
I can just go sit back in a movie and watch a movie. You know, I'll skip the popcorn.
Now,
it'll be hard, but I'll skip the popcorn.
They're saying this Adam Sandler movie, Uncut Gems, the one that's got Kevin Garnett in it.
Yes.
They say that is an emotional roller coaster all the way through to the end. They say people can't leave to go pee because it's intense constantly. There's a level of anxiety the movie brings. So that would be one of those movies where you're like, oh my God, I worked out for 2 hours.
Yeah, that might be a low to medium impact cardio, you know? I mean, like a little bit higher. Like, you know, I was thinking of movies. If you go and you saw Frozen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably going to be considered on the low scale because, you know, I mean, it's a cartoon. But I'm thinking back, like, if you went and saw Speed for the first time.
Right. Now, that was the one with the bomb on the bus.
Yeah. It was just you were on the edge of your seat for the entire movie. You know, that one probably be a good workout for you.
Wouldn't it be weird if you, like, showed up to, like, a party or something where you hadn't seen somebody in like a year and they were like, God, you lost a lot of weight. What are you doing? Cardio? Lifting weights? Movies, man. Tell you what, movies. I strap on one of those Fitbit things that monitor my heart rate. My heart rate goes in the fat burning zone for 2 straight hours. Pick the right movie. Watch the pounds pour off.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, maybe we should watch The Irishman in the theater, right?
Yeah.
Man,
my God.
3.5 hours. That might be a workout worth a week.
That might be near heart attack level. You're like, you can't work out that long. God, that's awesome. That is great. Nice study.
Yes.
Wait. I hope they got well funded for that one.
Way to put tax dollars to good use.
Exactly.
Like, right, so because it wasn't ours.
It wasn't ours. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. There's a little bit more Astros fallout.
All right.
The Staten Island Yankees.
Yes.
Are holding a mini trash can giveaway.
That's awesome.
When they play host to the Tri-City Valley Cats in September.
Why wouldn't they?
The Tri-City Valley Cats are an Astros Class A short season affiliate.
So they're basically saying, you come to the Staten Island Yankees game,
yep.
We're going to give you a mini trash can.
Exactly.
Yeah, well done. Minor League Baseball does this constantly, though. Don't they come up with these kind of things that are really good?
I mean, you know, I will put that up, one up over, there was a Philadelphia news station. I don't have that story in front of me. I just remember seeing a clip of it. But he interviewed He said, who was a key witness to the Astros cheating? And he interviewed a trash can on on the news.
Like an actual trash can?
Yeah, they brought the trash can in studio, and he sat there and was asking the trash can questions.
See, a better one would be if you got Oscar the Grouch.
Yes, I thought
like
that,
if you were, like, interviewing Oscar the Grouch, and he was just like, I'm so tired of them banging my can for fastballs, or something like that. Somebody who does a better impression than me.
Pretty good, man. I was all of a sudden back in my childhood going, oh, speak more, Oscar.
That would have been a good, funny
radio bit. Tell me how grumpy you are today, Oscar.
Oh, man, the change-up really gives me a headache. That's what they needed. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or filthy or dusty. Those Astros are driving me crazy. Oh, I love trash. That's what they should have done. Banging trash cans.
Oh, God.
That would have been funnier if they had pulled that off. Talking to did they bang the trash can as an answer?
I have no idea. I just saw him. He literally sat there with a microphone to a trash can. I was like, what? This looks like a really bad SNL skit. This looks like an SNL skit that they pitched.
And right.
They're like, no, this is the dumbest thing on the planet.
Lauren Michaels is like, no, 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 and no. We're not doing that nonsense. Yeah. No chance.
Oh, that's going to end up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. The Staten Island Yankees, though, by the way, play right near the ferry that you take to Manhattan. So when you go up Staten
Makes
Island,
a lot
you
of
catch,
sense.
Catch the ferry to the free ferry to Manhattan.
And if you go,
you can pass the Staten Island Yankee Stadium.
And if you go sometime in September, not sure on the date, you can get a free trash can. It's a mini size, though.
Just a mini size, not a real. Yeah. Not giving away.
It's probably big enough to hold gun wrappers.
Yeah, that's true. That's all right. So,
I mean,
not
something,
bad.
Something that sits on your desk. I mean, a talking piece, if you will.
We both can agree that they expect more of these kind of things minor league affiliates around the country.
I'm certain that people are going to have their fun with them.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. So I'm looking at possibly, if I'm not mistaken, the Oklahoma City Dodgers. I think play somebody associated with the Astros in their league.
Maybe
Round Rock. Maybe a possibility of a promotion there.
Well, the Dodgers have been told not to talk about it. So
That's true. They can't
do anything yet.
Yeah.
However, the Yankees are like, we'll just do whatever we want.
Our affiliate's giving away trash cans, and we're just going to complain about it openly on television.
Bearing them as much as we want.
Don't you worry about that. We're not keeping our mouth shut. We're going right to the source.
Wait till we get a hold of the Red Sox now.
Oh, that's right. Just wait till we get a hold of the Red Sox. Oh my God. Wait till that comes down the pipe. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I'm going to explain to you the difference between the Knicks and the Lakers. Okay.
Ooh, okay. Because I've been curious the Knicks and the Lakers are different.
And we're not talking about on-court stuff. We're talking about how organization is ran, okay?
Okay, good.
So there was a guy, a Lakers fan, who hit a half-court shot. Can you guess how much he won?
Laker fan.
In Los Angeles, hit a half-court shot.
$150,000.
Close. $100,000.
Okay, $100,000. It's good change.
Knicks fan hits a half-court shot. You want to guess what he won?
A pair of tickets and some sneakers.
Close. $1,000 in scratch-offs.
He won $1,000 in scratch. They gave him $1,000 in scratch offs for hitting a half court shot.
Yep. Do you want to know how much he netted after scratching them all off?
Let me guess. Is the answer zero?
$500.
$500.
And now this fan is a little upset with the Knicks.
I'm going to tell you right now, this shouldn't even be a no brainer. You're the Lakers. You cut that guy a check for $100,000 and you give him a jersey. You give him a LeBron James jersey and $100,000. Just do it.
Just troll
the Knicks. Just to make the Knicks angry at their stupid, stupid giveaway.
I mean, what makes me laugh is that this guy actually is upset, too.
He knew what the prize was if he hit the shot, or did they surprise him by going, it's a box. What's in the box? Could be $1 million, could be scratch-off tickets.
Yeah, he said, well, when they said scratch-offs, I instantly got a headache because I was going to have to scratch them all off.
Yeah, that's a pain.
I thought about who could I hire to do it for me, but then figured they might want some of the money, so I negated that idea. I was sort of like, WTF, man. Some dude just won $100,000 doing the same blank in L.A., and I got some lottery tickets. Still a blessing, though.
Oh, that's great. Lakers, don't maybe make it 50 grand. Give them LeBron James autographed jersey and like 50 grand.
Yeah,
tell
maybe him, just go half.
Tell him to wear this the next time he's at the Knicks game.
But he got, I guess he apparently got $200 worth, or no, he got 200 tickets, $205 tickets.
Oh, God. Can you imagine cashing those stupid things in? Beep.
Hey, I thought that was a lot better than, you know, $1,000 of $1 tickets.
Yeah.
But she probably would. I mean, wouldn't you think maybe your odds would be better if you had $1,000 scratch off versus $205?
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, that, you might be right.
But I just love the fact that you got $1,000 worth of scratch offs and only netted $500.
I still get lottery tickets and birthday cards, which is really cool because I like scratch off tickets and I don't buy them enough. So every now and then, like my birthday, my aunt will send me one. But I always am conflicted because sometimes I'll win $10. But I don't know what to do. Like, I got to mail it back to my aunt who's got to cash it and then send me $10.
Yeah.
And I'm like, eh. So.
Have you ever gotten a fake one?
No. But can I tell you my scratch off ticket story?
Sure.
From a couple of years ago when we come back?
Yeah.
Because I've got a really good one. All right, that's next. It's SB Nation Radio. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Wednesday on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And again, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so here's my scratch-off lottery ticket story, okay? A number of years ago, I want to say about 2007, it was about when I was living in Colorado Springs. I got a New York lottery ticket for my birthday. Like I said, my aunt sent me lottery tickets, you know, in my birthday cards and whatnot. And this was a baseball-oriented scratch-off ticket. And the object was
very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. It was like they had the Yankees, Mets, and Phillies. So it was like a Tri-City a lottery ticket. And it was, if you beat their score, win the prize shown. So you scratch off the score, it's six. So then you start scratching off. There were 10 games on the thing. There were 10 opportunities to win. So you scratch off what the opponent got, and then you start scratching it off. So it wasn't as elaborate, but it was cool. But the big kicker was, if you scratched off in the prize box the word home run, you won all 10 boxes. You won all the prizes in the 10 boxes. Not the prize box. I'm sorry. If you scratched off home run. So if they had five and you scratched off the first one and it said four, you lost that game. If you scratched off the next one and it had six, you won that game, scratch it off, up $2. But if your run total said home run, stop right there. You're a winner on all 10 games. You get all of the money. Right? So just scratch them all off and bring out the calculator because you're gonna win. So I scratch off the run total and I go to the first game and I lose. And I go to the second game and I get home run. And I freak out because it said like went up to $100,000 or something like that. I flip out because I'm gonna win. And I'm just screaming. I bring my wife in and go, even if we don't win $100,000, oh my God, we might have some serious money here. Like, I landed the big prize. So the first game, $1. Second game, $1. Okay, this is not going so well. Third game, $1. Fourth game, $1. You can see where this is going. I scratched off all 10 win boxes. All 10 of them had $1. I won $10. It's not like... You know when you get one of those scratch-off tickets where you're like, you win and you pause for a second before you scratch off the money? You go, I won. I have a winning ticket. I don't know what I've won. But in the back of your head, you're thinking, it's probably ticket or $2 or $5. Likely, I'm not going to be scratching off 25 grand. But when I scratched off home run, I thought I had landed one of the special tickets, one of the very few they print. So I was like, my heart was pounding, which apparently is good exercise and cardio, and I've been in shape. My heart was racing. I mean, I called my wife into the room to share that. The moment, like, we have one of the winning tickets in the New York lottery. We are, like, I was, like, I couldn't believe it. I was so happy. A buck every single game.
Sit there and say, you know, honey, grab the video camera. Watch me videotape me scratching these last few numbers off.
And if we, I would have, if we had gotten, if we, at that time we were in the iPhone era, filming everything era, I would have had her do that. I would have said, film this. We're going to be rich.
Yep.
We've got serious money coming our way. This is serious dough. Right? I was thrilled. So and even though it said like you went up to 100,000, I was like, all right, I may not win 100,000, but there's going to be a couple of 10,000 prize boxes in this thing. Like I was already mentally spending the money. Like where are we going to go on a big vacation?
Yep.
I don't think I even sent it back.
What's
to
your
get
first
the 10
big
bucks.
Purchase?
I think I just threw it away. I was like so angry. I was like, that's ridiculous. It was like insulting too. It was like the New York and Philadelphia lottery was laughing at me as I was scratching off each box. Like, ah, he fell for our trick. He thought he was going to be rich, but he's not. What a sucker. And that was my scratch-off story.